Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A little shame on you to start the sermon this morning. Shame on you if. Shame on you if you know more about how to prepare a turkey than you do about how to prepare for the telos. And if you're asking yourself, what's the telos, then shame on you because you didn't ask, how do you prepare a turkey? It wouldn't be surprising if we all know more about turkeys than the telos. We, by nature, don't like to think about the end. And that's what the telos is. It's the Greek word for the end. We are content to be in the middle, to ignore the past that's full of heartache and shame and other problems, right? To rejoice in the present, that's the best we got, and be ignorant about the future, the things to come. Besides, nobody knows what tomorrow will bring, they say. Or does somebody? And is that somebody the one who died and rose again from the dead and teaches us of the telos, tells us of things to come and which we ought to be very attentive. Look, teacher, someone said to Jesus in our text today, what great stones, what wonderful buildings. Jesus replied, do you see these great stones, these buildings? There will not be one stone left upon another. They will not be overthrown. He was talking about things to come. The temple was going to be destroyed. And that probably caused the disciples to give great pause. They're like, well, what? The temple of God is going to be destroyed? That doesn't sound good, like a good, great future. Surely, Jesus, you're worthy to be the king and reign here in the temple. This is your house. Isn't this the place where you've come to dwell and to bring righteousness to the earth and dwell in the temple? And the problem is that this temple was made how? With human hands. It's full of impurities. It was in Jesus' day. It would be now if we built it again today. It would not be the pure place where God dwells. If he comes to dwell there, and he did come to dwell there, he had to come down on a mercy seat. Why? Because there were sinners gathered in that temple who needed to be forgiven. No one was worthy to be in God's presence by nature. Someone had to intercede for them, a great high priest, right? To make propitiation, make sacrifices for sin so that others could come and be near God. And the temple, in Jesus' day, the temple, if we built it today, would be full of impurities. No one should think that any building built by humans could not be destroyed by humans. That's the nature of things we build. If we can build it, somebody can destroy it. But if God built the temple, now that's a different story, isn't it? In 70 AD, that temple came down historically, didn't it? It was destroyed in 70 AD, just as Jesus taught. It's exactly what happened. But that really God was so concerned about that temple anyway. Jesus himself is what we know is the true temple of God, the tent that was stretched out on the earth in which God dwelled with and for his people in Jesus. And as he prophesied about the temple's destruction, he was also giving a hint about what would happen to himself. His body would be destroyed and would rise again on the third day. Jesus talking about things to come, however, and the destruction of that temple made the disciples think deep thoughts about the end, the telos. And so they asked Jesus, when will these things be? What will be the sign? Since you know about things to come, tell us the telos. And Jesus told them. And you suppose, why did they want to know about the when and the what signs? Why? Well, I suppose skeptically I could think that if they knew when, then a couple things. Either they could just, hang out, be lazy until the end, get their act together at the end, right? Just laziness until then you clean up your act and be ready when God comes. That gives you a little license to take it easy. Or secondly, you want to know when so you can use it as, oh, I know when and you don't know when, right? But God, therefore, doesn't tell them the exact time, does he? He says, you're going to hear of things. Wars and rumors of wars. People will come in my name saying, I am he. You're going to hear of famines and earthquakes, wars, catastrophes of every kind. But the end is not yet. That's what Jesus teaches them. That no matter what seems to be going on earth, no matter how bad, you can't read the news like tea leaves. As if, oh, it's getting so bad now, I know that the end is surely going to be on this date, blah, 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 and we'll study this thing and spend all of our time figuring out the dates and the timeline, as if the news was tea leaves for the future. That's no way to live. And that's not what Jesus wants of his disciples. You will not know when. We don't know the day or the hour, Jesus teaches us in his word. Rather, live by faith. It's not a if, it is a when. Live by faith. You will not know what signs, except those which you see as all as he describes them, birth pangs of something new. He talks about birth pangs, and I suppose, oh, birth, that sounds like painful. Yeah, but what comes after that? What comes out in the end? A new creation. Something better than what you had before. Is your heart and your love and trust in things right now, and your certainty that you have right now in the stock market and in everything you got and things you own and the people you have with you, is your trust and your certainty right here and now? Or is your trust in him who brings all things new, who dies and rises again for you, for all the sins you've committed, past, present, and future, that you can have a full communion, a full life, heavenly joy with Christ and all the saints, in all the heavenly kingdom? That's what God prepares for you through Christ Jesus, the telos. Then Jesus tells them a little bit more beyond just the when and the what signs. He tells them about trials. You're going to have to endure some trials. And you'll be brought before governors and kings, he says. You're going to have to stand there. And when that time comes, don't be anxious about what you're to say or speak, because it will not be you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And in the end of that trial, he talks about the one who endures to the end will be saved. Jesus' teaching about these trials, not merely prescriptive of what the disciples were going to go through. Now, surely some of the disciples did go on trial. Paul, various times. Luther, others were on trial before kings. And maybe that'll happen to some of us too. But I think more than just being prescriptive of what was going to happen to his church, he was really being descriptive of what was about to happen to Jesus himself. This is Mark chapter 13. This is three short chapters before Jesus' death and resurrection, his passion. And what happens to him? He appears before governor and kings, before Herod and Pilate. And he doesn't give him a script from God that he can use at the appropriate moment to pull out, knowing what exactly people are going to say to him. Rather, he speaks when he is spoken to. He is silent for most of the trial, until he speaks the true things about who is the true Son of God on earth, who is the true King. And he's put on trial for being divine and human in one man, isn't he? And put to death for this very truth. He's talking about things that are about to happen to himself. He is to be put on trial. And yes, we being conformed to his image may happen to do that too in our lives. May God grant that we speak by the Holy Spirit too. But Jesus spoke so powerfully by the Spirit at those moments. And what does this affect on us? If Jesus is really talking, really first and foremost, about what is about to happen to him, it gives us even more confidence about the future, about the end, the telos. God knows our future. Jesus knew what was going to happen to him. Better than we know our future, does God know our future. God prophesies of things to come so that we in part know and have confidence to stick with Him by faith until the telos. God has given us this gift of His Son, given us His Son's earthly end, His telos, as a down payment for our future with Him in heaven. His telos is something we ought to treasure. His cross and His open tomb is the way for us to enter eternal life. Stick with His Word. Hold fast to His end, because it is your beginning. It is your future, which God has made known to you by the Spirit through His Word and this day. How can you prepare for things to come? Should you build a better temple? Should we all work on that? Should we look for signs and make timelines, thinking of His Bible as a secret code in which we can figure out and then tell everybody when the end of the world is going to be so that we're all prepared, or we're going to be lazy up until then? Should we memorize lines just in case we get put on trial? No, in all these things, let us look to Jesus, who was put on trial for us, who is the temple, who is the one who speaks for us, interceding on our behalf before the Father, giving us words to speak to one another and words to speak at the right time to bring nations to know of His love, His mercy that surpasses all things and provides for all people a way to see the Father face to face. May God grant you faith in His telos as the future of your telos. In Jesus' holy name, amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.